You're going to say hi yourself. Well, so good to be with you, beloved, and joy to be able to share with God's people, God's word. I got a very limited in my understanding, and I'm just giving you what I know, and you, I'm sure, you can go deeper into this subject if you want to. And there are a few things that you can teach me on the subject of sanctification. Last week I mentioned that sanctification is not certain things, and it's not mere religious practice. One of the things we mentioned, not mere religious practice. You know, you can be religious without being sanctified. You know, I think it was Mr. Darby who says, the devil is no more satanic than when he's carrying a Bible. You know, so it's not mere religious. Paul says that so many the religious, they look the part, but they deny the power. They deny the power. Oh, they're very religious, and it's not about going. I don't go here, and I don't do that. That's not sanctification. It's not sanctimoniousness, I mentioned last week. And the Lord Jesus, he met with the most sanctimonious people, the Pharisees. He says, our righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's not about outward show. It's not about observances. It's not about doing this and not doing that. It's the Lord working in us, and sanctification is being set apart for God. We have to say that often, because that's what it is. It is being set apart for God. And we mentioned this morning that we have been eternally set apart for God by the Lord Jesus, by the work of Calvary. And what he accomplished there, and because of his redemptive work, all who believe, we are justified and we have been sanctified forever. And that is God's part, and we cannot improve on that, and we cannot do anything to take away from that. But we have our part to play in our progressive sanctification, the life that we live. You know, a lot of people don't understand what James was talking about in his epistle, and some think that James was contradicting the Apostle Paul when he speaks of justification by works. But that's not a contradiction at all. He was just saying that you got to show. You say you believe, you have been sanctified, and you have to show it by your lifestyle, by your conduct, by your behavior. And the Lord has sanctified us. That's his work. That's what he has done for us. Nothing can change that if we believe. But we have to live sanctified lives, and that's the progressive part of it. And the Lord Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17. I dare say he prayed for us. He prayed not only for his disciples, but he prayed for us, you and I. If you read the text, you would find that the Lord Jesus not only prayed for his own, those around him, but he also prayed for us, you and I. Because he prayed for them who will believe, because of the testimony of those around him. In John 17, and verse 17, this is the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, it says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Word of God has a sanctifying effect in our lives when we adhere to its teaching, when we adhere to its precepts, when we obey His Word. It sanctifies us. It creates in us that new walk, that we need to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of our flesh. The Word of God, it has a sanctifying effect in our lives. And He says we must be sanctified by the Word. You see, you cannot neglect the Word. You cannot ignore what God has said and still say that I'm living a sanctified life. No, it's the Word of God that sanctifies us. And the Word of God is pictured in so many passages as water. And water washes. You know, you go back you might be tired of me going back to the Old Testament, but I go back to the Old Testament you think of the brazen altar where the priest served. But they couldn't go from the brazen altar into the holy place. Between the brazen altar and the holy place, there was the lava. The lava where they had to wash. Where they had to wash before they enter in. And it was serious. They had to wash because God said to Moses, make sure that they wash, that they die not. That they die not. And you and I, we have to make sure that we wash. And even though we don't drop dead because of our failures, don't think that God is not taking notes. And we and I, we have to wash before we worship. We have to wash before we serve. It was true for Aaron and his sons. And it is true for you and I as well. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Wash before we worship. Sanctify them through thy truth. Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. You see, beloved, God is going to forgive sins. He always forgives sins when we confess them. But He will not have fellowship with a saint who fails to judge his sin, who fails to confess his sins. Because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sanctify them, he says, through thy truth, thy word. Thy word is truth. Set them apart by thy word. Thy word is truth. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 5, it speaks of sanctification there in more than one place, but in chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it says in verse 23, it told us the things that we should stay away from earlier, how we should live. And then he said in verse 23, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. The very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So when we say sanctification is not just religious practice that you can go to all the services, you can dress the part, you can say the part. That's not sanctification. You have to be wholly sanctified, spirit and soul and body, the whole person. Meaning, beloved, that you and I have to live that clean life, that life that is separated unto God, that life that is dedicated to Him, that life that is washed in the water of His Word on a daily basis, that we may keep, stay in unbroken fellowship and communion with Him. Even though we're not totally sanctified in the sense that we are still subject to failures here, we have to be sanctified in every part. Even though we're only partly in every part, spirit and soul and body. And that's what the apostle was saying to the Thessalonians. The whole spirit, the whole man, spirit and soul and body. Not you just can dress up the whole body as much as you can. If your heart is not right with God, that you're not sanctified. We stay in 1 Thessalonians and we go in chapter 4. We read this last week, but we're going to read it again. Chapter 4 and verse 3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that he should abstain." This is how it's done. That he said, "Abstain from fornication, and that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." Some think this is your body, how you take care of it, how you treat it, how you keep it in subjection. And some think this is your spouse. Whatever it is, you gotta keep them in sanctification and honor, not in the lust. Here's another: not in the lust of sensuality, even as the Gentiles who know not God. Let no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God, here it is, for God hath not called us to uncleanness. That's not his will. His will is our sanctification. He's not called us to uncleanness, but unto holiness. That's another word for sanctification. Holiness. That's he called it. He called us to holiness. Therefore, holy brethren is what the writer to the Hebrews penned in chapter 3 and verse 1. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. He's called us to holiness. Why holiness? Because holiness is sanctification. And holiness, it says, without which no man shall see the Lord. So that's his calling. That's his will. His will is for sanctification, and he is against uncleanness and all that is evil, because that is contrary to his will and his purpose. We go back to the word and its effect on our lives. It sanctifies us. In Ephesians in chapter 5, Ephesians in chapter 5, we're just going to read two verses there. Excuse me. We'll get back to this, our final point. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So the word washes, the word sanctifies, the word cleanses, beloved. That's the effect of the word of God in our lives when we let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. It sanctifies us. It sets us apart. The word, you can't neglect the word in our sanctification. We cannot be sanctified apart from the word, the water of the word. Listen to the words of Jesus. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he speaks of the importance of the word in our sanctification, in John's Gospel in chapter 15, verse 3, he says to his own, "Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. So the word sanctifies, the word cleanses. And in that very long psalm, Psalm 119, it deals so much, as a matter of fact, almost all the verses, with a very few exceptions, deals with the word. It deals with the word. And I just want to read a couple of verses in Psalm 119. Speaks of sanctification. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed to the word. So we are sanctified by the word of God. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." And it's not how much you know, it's where the word of God is. Not in your head, but in your heart. That's where you need to hide God's word. It needs to have an effect on your lifestyle, because that's how you get cleansed, by taking heed according to the word. That's progressive sanctification, beloved. Taking heed, giving heed to what God has said in his word. And we read Titus 2 this morning, but I just want to emphasize something here in Titus 2, because this is sanctification. This is living the sanctified life here. The grace of God, 2 and 11. That bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And this is the sanctified lifestyle right here. Teaching us that denying ungodliness, for God has not called us to ungodliness, his will that we be sanctified. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. This life in which we live now is for us to live that sanctified life. And the hope that we have within us would guide us, would enable us to live that life, if we really believe in the coming of our Lord, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. If you know that Christ is coming tonight, how would you live? How would you be? That hope. We sing it sometimes with such a blessed hope in view. I would more holy be, more like my risen or blessed glorious Lord, whose face we soon shall see. The hope of Christ's coming, that blessed hope, drives us to live that sanctified life. We are sanctified by the word and the hope that is in us. We may mention this verse again, but we may mention it again before we close. 1 John chapter 3, because we're talking about the hope. "Beloved, now are we the children of God," verse 2. "And doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself," yes, purifieth himself, even as he is pure, sanctified himself, living that sanctified life, even as he is pure. You know, one of the things that we love to speak of, and we ought to, I'm not criticizing us for wanting to speak on it, but speaking of it and living in the light of it are two different things. The coming of the Lord, and we like to speak of his coming. And why not? We should speak of his coming because he is coming. He that shall come, and will not tarry. He says, I will come again, and we believe that. We believe that. The problem is, are we living in the light of his coming? Are we really living as though he can come at any moment? You know, the Apostle Peter says, you know, we're preaching of the end times. We're preaching about the end times. And if we're really preaching about the end times, if we really believe about the end times, what manner of persons we ought to be? 2 Peter in chapter 3. The life then, in other words, the life must be consistent with the message that we preach. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10 says this, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are in it shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living, sanctification, all holy living, and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolve, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, if you're really looking, be diligent that you be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Of course, this refers to the coming of the Lord to the earth, and it's coming, speaking a lot about the final stage, or, you know. But if it's speaking about those days, how much closer is the rapture that the church is looking for? The rapture when we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. This tells of the eternal state of the new heaven and new earth coming. That's after the rapture, after the millennial reign of Christ. But the rapture is so much closer. What manner of persons ought he to be in all holy living? Yeah, we have a responsibility, beloved, because he has sanctified us eternally, and we have a responsibility to be sanctified, to be set apart ourselves progressively in light of all that he has done for us. In the epistle of 2 Corinthians, it speaks of us sanctifying ourselves. It speaks about sanctifying ourselves. Chapter 7, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, God has already done all this for us, positionally. We are safe, we are secured, we are sanctified forever. But now we have to live the lifestyle. Now we have to practice what God has done for us in our daily lives. And it's up to us to sanctify ourselves, to set ourselves apart for Him. What are the promises? The promises precede this verse in chapter 6. And you know, we seem to forget that light and darkness, they don't go together. They have nothing in common. You know, and the temple of God with idols and all these things. And God says, call upon us to live separate lives. Not only are we separate from evil, but we have to be separate unto him, set apart for God and to God. It says to us to come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I'll be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. The fatherhood of God will be manifested to us. And it says, you have these precious promises. Now you must sanctify yourself. You can't deal with darkness. You can't dwell in darkness. You can't live that old lifestyle. What it says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? And on with it. You see, they don't go together. You say you're saved, you've been sanctified, set apart for God. Then, as James says, show me. Show me your faith by your works. Live in that light. Live consistently with what God has done. Make sure that your lifestyle is consistent with your profession, beloved. Let us live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Before I close, we mentioned this morning positional sanctification and progressive sanctification, and we're just talking about progressive sanctification. I just want to look at a scripture and see if we can agree on this. But this is what I'm going to teach anyway. When the Lord Jesus was on the cross of Calvary, when it came for him to die and they didn't believe that he was dead already, the soldiers went and they thought they were gonna break his legs. They broke the legs of one thief and they broke the legs of the other. And when they came to Jesus and found that he was already dead, they broke not his legs, but they pierced his side with a sword. And the Bible says, forthwith came there out blood and water. And I want to suggest to you, when we look at this, we think of blood for our original cleansing, blood for our redemption, and water as representing the word for our sanctification. And that's it, blood and water, positional sanctification, and our progressive sanctification. I believe that's what the hymn writer had in mind. It depends. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure. The blood for redemption. Peter, he that is washed needeth not except to wash his feet. Water. For our sanctification. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. It says Jesus came not by water only, but by blood and by water. Sanctification. The blood of Christ cleanses, answers to all that the devil can accuse us of. All that the Lord demands, the Lord Jesus, his blood has taken care of that. Redeemed by his blood, redeemed once and for all, saved by grace, eternally redeemed, eternally set apart for God. Now it's up to us, you and I, beloved, to apply the water of the word. For wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to his word. Progressive sanctification is up to us. Let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit. We are dealing these days with evangelism, and what a great subject it is. What a great movement that is to evangelize the world. I hear a lot of things out there, and it doesn't need to deal with evangelism. I hear a lot of so-called Christians dealing with stuff outside their other churches. They're not dealing with evangelism. They're dealing with Christianization. I'm talking about evangelism, changing lives, changing hearts, not changing behavior through legislation. That's not evangelism. Listen to what the Apostle Peter is saying here. He says, verse 19, Apostle Paul, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having the seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." It's our responsibility. "But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use, and prepared." You're ready for evangelism. We're ready to go out. You're ready to win souls. "And prepared unto every good work." We have to purge ourselves. We have to sanctify ourselves. We have to set ourselves apart. We have to wash before we serve. "If a man purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and fit for the master's use." Ready unto every good work. We're not ready because we get the urge. We are ready when we are prepared. We're prepared inside, cleanse every whit, ready for the Lord to work in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Why am I dwelling on that? Because it's so important, beloved. Let me read what it says in Isaiah. I know you know this one. This is for those who have a desire to serve. There's nothing wrong with that. I hope we all have a desire to serve. But it takes more than desire. Remember, David had a desire to build the house of God, but he didn't get to do it. You gotta be prepared. Here's what it says. Isaiah 52 and verse 11. It says, "Depart ye." You gotta be prepared. "Depart ye, go out from there, touch no unclean thing. Go out of the midst of her. Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord, sanctified and fit for the master's use." Don't get caught up in the falsehood, the false doctrines that's out there. Like Paul was saying, you gotta get away from those things. Hymenaeus and Philetus, they were spreading false doctrines, he said. And in Christendom, you'll find that. You gotta cleanse yourselves from all these things. I think I'm gonna stop here. Except I'm going to read the last verse before we close. And then I'll close. not to make any comment, but just to read this, to just to solidify what we have said throughout these 2 weeks, sanctification. In Psalm 4, verse 3, it says, "But know that Psalm 4 and verse 3, but know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself." Set you apart for himself. You belong to him. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Know that the Lord hath set apart. That's what sanctification is. Set apart him who is godly for himself. There's a whole lot more we can dwell on, beloved, when it comes to sanctification. You're sanctified by the Spirit of God, sanctified by the Word of God, sanctified by prayer and all these things. But that's all we have time for. God bless his word, and I trust that we'll be ready unto every good work as we prepare to accept the challenge of evangelizing those around, going out with the gospel, being clean vessels sanctified, set apart for God to be used in his service. We cannot be channels of blessing, one of us, he says, if our lives are not free from all sin. We would barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win. Good to be with you. Thanks for the privilege of sharing with you. God bless his word. Father in heaven, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for giving us thy word. The entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. We pray that the word of Christ would dwell in our hearts richly unto all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that we would hide thy word in our hearts, that we might not sin against thee. For this is the will of God, even our sanctification. Thank thee for the saints. Thank thee for their love and generosity. Thank thee for all the kindness and favor of God's people. Watch over us now as we part the one from the other. Bless the assembly. Bless all the families represented. And take care of those who are ailing among the people of God. Some of the dear ones, dear saints, are ailing. We just commit them into your loving hands and ask for your help and blessing, your divine touch. For there's no touch like the touch of our Lord. Touch and heal and raise them up in accordance to your will. And we'll be careful to give thee the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask for this blessing as we part the one from the other. Lord, take us to respective homes in peace and in safety. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.